every promise that made it hers. Through the years I never saw her crumble. Her life was firmly planted in the Word. That's the truth you can depend on. The truth that'll never lead you wrong. The Word of God that'll never pass away. That's the truth you can believe in. The truth that'll save you from your sin. From the eldest to the youth. That's the truth. Through the ages men have tried to change it and water down its message with their lies. But the truth is marching stronger now than ever. It'll rise above the flames when the world's on fire. That's the truth you can depend on. The truth that'll never lead you wrong. The Word of God that'll never pass away. That's the truth you can believe in. The truth that'll save you from your sin. From the eldest to the youth. That's the truth. The eldest to the youth, that's the
truth. Theologies, I've heard philosophies. People have opinions and their own point of view. I've heard preachers preach, I've heard teachers teach, but it all comes down to that simple gospel truth. I believe the book. Every story that I've heard, every line in every word, in those sacred pages, I believe it's true, written down for me and you, and it stood the test of time. Thank you.
Everybody find your places. We'll get started this evening. Good to see you here in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, we're thankful, Lord, that we serve a great God. We're thankful, Lord, and we just want to magnify and glorify you tonight. Father, I just pray that you be with Brother Martin as he brings the message this evening. I pray that you be with our pastor as they're away, him and his wife. And I pray that you just give us a safe trip. And Lord, we do pray that you just guide us and direct us tonight as your Holy Spirit works among us. Father, I pray that your word be lifted up and you be glorified. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to page number 19, continuing the tradition of singing all the songs in order except the ones I don't know. Song number 19, Like a River Glorious.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Hid in him the blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a search of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn to page number 21, Onward Christian Soldiers. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of this evening. Page number 21.
Onward Christian Soldiers. Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the Church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, blend with us your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Just a few announcements. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church here on a Wednesday night. And let's see, oh, your ninth announcements here. Yeah, that's the first one there. We got church tonight. Saturday, bus visitation and church-wide Operation Saturation at 10 o'clock. You have an opportunity to go out and spread the gospel, tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, knock on a few doors, and we have a good time doing that on Saturday at 10 o'clock. So you have the opportunity to be with us. Then on Sunday, May 10th, is Mother's Day. Special music, a message, gifts for all mothers. Long Star Baptist Singers singing group will be here for the evening service. And then on Sunday, May 17th, already it's graduation time. It may already. It just seems like time passes so fast. But anyway, and we have a couple of college kids that are going to be graduating there. And I got a granddaughter who's going to be graduating also. But anyway, Nathan and Katie will be graduating from Heartland Baptist Bible College, and that's going to be at 10 o'clock on May 14th. So anyway, then May the 17th, graduation Sunday here. We're going to recognize all and honor all of the 2026 graduates. I can't believe that. 2026, 1967, something like that. Anyway, that was 50 years ago. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to be honoring these graduates. And then also on May the 17th here, we also going to have a teen supper and silent auction and a fundraiser. That's going to be at 4:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. Have desserts and the auction after that. And so that's on Monday, May 17th. It's going to be here before you know it. May's going to end. I mean, April's ending tomorrow. May's here on Friday, so it's going to be here pretty quick. Okay, and Sunday, May 24th, 4 o'clock p.m. afternoon service. Following, I'm assuming we'll probably have morning service, too. Normally we do on Sunday morning. But anyway, so we're having an afternoon service that day. And be at the pastor, either at the fellowship hall or pastor's house, depending on the weather, as it will always do that. And then on Sunday, May 31st, the senior campers will leave for camp immediately after afternoon. So they'll stay for the morning service, and then we'll let them go. They got to stay and hear the preaching first, you know. Anyway, and we'll put them in a bus and take them to Missouri and let them suffer there for a week. No, it's a lot of fun, kids. Really is. And being a worker there during the, anyway, that's another thing. But anyway, then we have, that's the senior camp in Missouri. That goes from June 1st to the 5th. All right, that's about all of our announcements for this evening. Brother Martin's going to be bringing our message. The pastor is in Beeville, I think, what he told me on the phone, or he's somewhere. And so Brother Martin's going to bring our message this evening. So let's all stand and have a time of fellowship, and then we'll take up our evening offering. Y'all take your places. Let's take up the evening offering. Let's see. Josiah, would you like to lead us to the throne of grace? That's the blessing. Okay. Amen.
Well, there's a first time for everything. Okay, let's all turn in our hymnals to whatever the next one is. Blessed Assurance, number 22. Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a taste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks Lycee. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead your soul. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives about us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
It's amazing how three things that look like that could sing that well. Amen. Brother Vance and Brother Morey and I have always had something in common. One, we're all brothers in Christ. We've all pastored Baptist churches. But tonight, Brother Morey and I have another connection. He was talking about graduations a while ago, and I think he said he graduated from high school in 67. And so did I. We're classmates. I didn't even know it. And I would have graduated earlier had I not spent so much time in the third grade. But we're twins, you can tell. Amen. That's the first time to preach behind this new fancy pulpit. I'll tell you. I feel important. I feel like a real preacher. I don't know. Amen. But somebody asked where Brother Soap was tonight. I thought he's in Beville. I don't know. I just know he's not here. We're having a good time. And so, amen. Don't need him. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6, if you would, tonight. And stand with me, please, under the reading of a few verses of Scripture to Galatians chapter number 6. I say a few verses, we'll read the whole chapter, which is really just a few verses. God's word reads, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let every man that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Let us also not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. See how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand." That's quite a statement if you studied that out. Verse 12, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but the new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." I want to draw your attention to three verses specifically tonight. Verse number 2, where Paul writes these words, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Verse number 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." And verse number 17, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." I want to preach tonight on the subject for a few minutes on the subject, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Amen. We sing it, we need to believe it and behave it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for the folks that have purposed to come out. We do pray for the pastor and his dear wife as they're gone. Pray that they might come back refreshed and on fire and just more relaxed than when they left. Pray that you might bless the service tonight, and may thy will be done. Thank you for all the singing and the specials and the choir, and may the congregationals and all. And may thy will be done now, if you would, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is not in my notes, but the thought just came to me of those three young men singing. I wonder what it'd be like if Brother Vance and Brother Morgan and I sang a special. So that's what you think it'd be like. Okay. Got too many people, let us sing. We'll thin it out. Amen. A number of years ago, many moons ago, we were members of something. What church was that? My mind quit working. I've been hanging around Brother Moyer too long. People's Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, where Brother, my mind's not working. Brother Roloff pastored for years, and then Brother Wiley Cameron was there. We were under Brother Cameron for about 8 months there at People's Baptist. And he used to say this regularly, that a burnt Christian without a burden is a freak. A Christian without a burden is a freak. We need to understand that as life goes on as a Christian, burdens come on us. Sometimes they're self-afflicted, sometimes they're from the outside, but if we can learn from them, gain from them, they will increase our faith. Our faith is designed to be exercised, and in that exercise, we develop. We develop. You know, Brother, I'm picking on last night, Brother Vance and Brother Morey and I didn't get these physiques that we have without exercise. I mean, many, many hours at the gym, Brother Vance and I would stand in front of the mirror and, you know, like this. I did go to a gym in Kerrville, Texas, where I pastored years ago. A man in church owned the gym, and I went there, and there were two guys, bodybuilders, in there looking at themselves in the mirror. And as I walked by, I just said it. I said, would you guys come to this gym if they didn't have any mirrors in here to look into? One of them got upset, and the other one thought it was funny as could be. But anyway, it was an interesting question. But we become stronger through burdens. No Christian's ever grown stronger through not carrying some kind of burden or not carrying some kind of weight or not picking up something in life and learning from it and gleaning from it. There are three burdens mentioned in this text in Galatians chapter number 6. These burdens are categories of listings, or they're types of burdens, if you will, however you want to say it. We have three identifications of burdens that every Christian will have in their life. What we do with those is a different ballgame. Sometimes we take burdens, oh, this is too heavy, I don't want to do it. It's too hard, it's too difficult, it's too challenging, I have to put too much effort into it, and it hurts too much, and I've had enough burdens in life. Got to encourage this morning to be a blessing and tell you that if you're going to live another day, you're going to have some more burdens. I just to share that with you, be a blessing. Amen. We do have burdens, and they come to us sometimes on a daily basis. I'll not spend the time, but your memory could go back through the Old Testament even and think about folks in the Old Testament that bore burdens. Job of old, for example, think about his life. Moses, Joshua, others, and the burdens that they bore in their life and on this earth. Go over to the New Testament, think of the apostles, and think of many of the ladies in the New Testament, Mary and Martha and others that bore burdens, and yet these burdens made them stronger. So look at these three types of burdens tonight and examine them for a little bit. First one is verse number 2, where Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, to begin with, that tells us that we all have burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. So you have burdens, and I have burdens, and all God's children have burdens. And in this particular verse, we're instructed to bear one another's burdens. So if you have a burden in life, and I see it, and I've been exercised by that same burden in life, I'm to come alongside you, put my arm around you, and pray with you, and help you to bear that burden, because I've been there, and somebody helped me bear that burden one day. And so now I've been able to bear up under that burden with the help of another brother, and so now I'm instructed, commanded even, to help you bear your burdens. And the cattywampus, the opposite is, you know a new Greek, did you? Cattywampus. The opposite is true, too, is I have burdens, and you've been through those things, then you're instructed to come alongside me and put your arm around me and pray for me and encourage me and help me to bear that burden. Say, you know, Brother Martin, it'll be all right. There'll be another day. Things always look better in the morning. And you're to come alongside and help me bear that burden. So we see that we all have burdens, and here's a case where we bear one another's burdens. Here's a time where we come in life where somebody has a loss, and you've had a loss, and you come along and help them bear that burden. Yet some losses in life are really serious or really heavy, but when we're going through it, they're all serious and they're all heavy at that time because they're very personal. My parents had twin boys before I was born, David and Donald, and they died from a disease they called, in layman terms, the chicken disease. They died in iron lungs when they were just infants. And then I came along perfect and outstanding. No, but I never met those, my brothers, but I know they're in heaven. And sometimes because of the Bible says, they talk about a great host of witnesses who have gone before. Sometimes I feel like they're witnessing the race that I'm running, and that helps me bear that burden. But there are people in this life who have lost children, and it's not natural to lose your children. It's more natural for the parents to go first. But when you lose your children, somebody else has lost some too, and they should be able to come alongside and help you bear that burden, to pray with you and put their arm around you, maybe take your lunch, just spend some time with you, maybe just sit in silence while you weep, but help you bear that loss, that burden, if you will. There's other burdens that we have in life too, not just the loss of children physically, but sometimes the loss of children to the world. Sometimes we lose children to the world and we weep over it, and we're broken over it, and somebody else has lost somebody to the world, and they can come along and encourage them in that way. There's folks that have had financial losses. How many of you have never had a financial problem? Say, I'm a prophet. You'll get that later. You know, we all have financial burdens. I mean, we just do. Stuff costs money. It does. My wife's always talking about how much stuff used to cost compared to how much it costs today. And I say, yep, it's going up. And she didn't get much sympathy from me. And she said, oh, never mind. I'll talk to somebody else that wants to talk. And don't tell her I said this, but next week it's going to be more than it was last week. Gasoline goes up, gasoline goes down, and this sort of thing. But over the years, it's gone up and up and up. But so has my salary. Well, sometimes. But we all have financial burdens and financial losses. We can invest in something, maybe. Maybe it's an actual investment in the stock market. Maybe it's a piece of property. Maybe it's something we think, well, I can buy this thing and then sell it, make a quarter off it, or whatever the case might be. But we take a loss. We take a hit on it. We're getting ready to move somewhere. I don't know where we're going to move. But when we do, I know this. I know we have stuff in a storage unit we haven't seen in a year. But it's important. We got to hang on to it. Don't want to lose that stuff. I was scared to the death that I'd like to put, when we move, put everything in one big U-Haul truck and get rid of everything else. Fear came over her face. Amen. We got a house full of stuff, a storage building full of stuff, a storage unit full of stuff. I got pockets full of stuff. She's got a purse full of stuff, weighs 35 pounds. We just got stuff. And those things are burdens. And boy, it'd be nice to lighten that burden and get rid of some of that stuff. But then a new burden would come along. Now I got room for more stuff. She and our daughter Sarah, I don't know if you knew this about Sarah. You've known her long enough, you probably know. She and Sarah are almost identical. Brother John and I are always comparing notes. We are sharing one another's burdens all the time. Paul, she's just like her mother. I said, I know. I said, I'll light a candle for you and pray for you. I understand. But both of them have houses full of stuff. I don't mean to talk bad about your pastor's wife, but she's also my daughter, so in that vein. They both have stuff. And yet, if we happen to still be here Saturday when they get back, and they both drive by a garage sale, guess what? The brakes are coming on. The doors are flying open because somebody else getting rid of their stuff needs to become their stuff while I'm trying to sell my stuff to somebody else. That's a light illustration, but it's true. We have so many burdens in life that are real. In this particular verse, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, it's telling us that Christ bore our burdens on Calvary. He took your sin and my sin, the sin of all humanity, and bore them on Calvary. And it was a burden that he should not have had to have borne, but he did because he loved us, and God sent him into this world to seek and save that which was lost, and he took our burdens and of our sin upon him. He who was sinless became the sin bearer and bore our sins on Calvary. He bore our burdens, and he fulfilled the law of God. And so as we bear one another's burdens as he did, then we're fulfilling that law also. It's just the way Christians are supposed to act. It's the way we're supposed to live, bear one another's burdens. And then there's another one. There's another one here. In reference to, let me, one more thought on this, if I may. You're not going anywhere, are you? Don't look at me like you're funny. I'll be careful with this. Your pastor bears burdens you have no knowledge of. And you'll never know. Brother Moria could tell you burdens he bore when he pastored. Brother Vance could tell you burdens that of when he pastored. Every pastor could do that. And this is why when pastors get together and enjoy the fellowship so much, because they're sharing one another's burdens. But did you know in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that the Paul told somebody, said, break Mark with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry? I want to ask you as a church member tonight, are you profitable to your pastor for his ministry? Are you profitable to him, or are you a burden to him? Are you helping him fulfill the ministry that God is calling him here to do? Are you here when the doors are open? Are you? I'll tell you how to get rid of him. You walk up to him Sunday and say, Brother Swope, we'll do anything you want us to do. Just tell us what it is. He'll have a heart attack and be gone. He'll be shocked, amen. But we have burdens to bear. When you did this remodeling, people pitched in because there was a burden to be borne. That's a physical burden that you can see visually, but there are spiritual burdens that we each carry also. And then in verse 5, there's another burden. Not only bearing one another's burdens, but we need to be careful in this one specifically, because verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burdens. These are bearable burdens. I have burdens that nobody else is supposed to help me carry. And you have burdens that nobody's supposed to help you carry. And so we all have burdens that we are to carry ourselves, and every man shall bear his own burden. I have burdens to bear. I don't mean this in a light way. I've been joking some, but I'm not joking now. But being married and having family, is there's burdens with that. But the burdens that I have with my family, with my marriage, with our finances and so forth, that's my burden. I'm the husband. I'm the daddy. I'm the man of the house. Those are my burdens. And my burdens in my home are not your burdens. And your burdens are not mine. And so the burdens that you have in your home with your finances and raising your children, that's your burden. But if I can come along and help you with that burden, fine. Or you help me with mine, fine. But still, there are burdens that we're supposed to bear, our own burdens. I'd say that Moses had some burdens that he was the only one that could bear. Here he is on the backside of the desert working for his father-in-law. Amen. And God speaks to him out of a burning bush and says, go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he goes down to do that. And the burdens that he went through in presenting that and getting Pharaoh to let God's people go, and then the burden of leading those that mixed multitude through the wilderness for 40 years, that was a burden. Feeding them, giving them water on a daily basis, leading them through the wilderness for 40 years, that burden of leading those people. In fact, there was a time in his ministry in the wilderness where Moses said to God, basically, these are thy people. And God says, these your people. Neither one of them wanted them. And we got that. And he got that point as one of the greatest leaders that's ever lived is Moses. You want to study leadership, look at his life. And for 40 years, he led God's people through the wilderness. And then he had the burden where it mounted up inside him. And in the flesh, he got in the flesh. And instead of speaking to the rock the second time to bring forth water, he struck it the second time. And when he did, that sinned against God's command for him. He had to pay the penalty of that, because the wages of sin is death, and he did not get to go into the promised land. But he had to bear his own burden for 40 years. That was his burden to be the leader of those people. John the Baptist, I'd say, bore a burden in the wilderness being trained in preparation for his public ministry when he goes out and preaches, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He bore a burden that day. He bore a burden when he preached against sin, had his head taken off. He bore his own personal burdens. Nobody could take his place in the personal burden bearing. For every man shall bear his own burden. We can't even talk about this tonight without talking about the Lord. He bore burdens that were only his to bear. For 40 days and 40 nights and fasting, he had to go through that burden of prayer and fasting. He had to go through the burden when he came out of that of the temptation, all three areas of life, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. He had to bear up under that temptation and that burden, be tempted of the devil. He had to bear up under the burden of being of mockery trials and going from magistrate to magistrate and finally going to Calvary, where they nailed him to a cross and lifted up into the air and dropped him to the ground. His body racked with pain when it did that. He bore a burden that was his to bear. Nobody else could bear it. Jesus bore our burden on Calvary. He's the one that had to do that. He was the sacrificial lamb. He shed his blood on Calvary. Nobody else could do it. So we do have burdens that each of us have to carry personally. It's nobody else's responsibility. Nobody else can do it but you. You have some burdens that you need to carry. But not only do we carry one another's burdens and bear our own burdens, but we, in the process of that, we get stronger in the Lord. Our faith grows. Our faith increases. We can see farther off than we did before. We get stronger as Christians. We understand things. Wisdom grows. Grace grows. We understand things better. And there's another burden that Paul talks about in this text, in the last part of the chapter, verse number 17. He says, from henceforth let no man trouble you, for I bear in my body. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He was shipwrecked. He was hungered. He was beaten. He was despised and rejected, just like the Lord was by his own countrymen. He bore those burdens, and those burdens marked his body. Some of them are physical marks on his body, but some of them are spiritual marks on his body. When you bear a burden for the Lord and you're serving him and you're helping each other do that and bearing one another's burdens as a church body and as individuals in particular, you know, there's going to be some marks that as a result of that. There's going to be some losses. There's going to be some marks there. They may not be physical. We may not be able to see them. Maybe they're in your heart. Maybe they're in your spirit. But there's going to be some marks, some scars, some marks there. And Paul says, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. But he's not ashamed of those marks. He's not ashamed of them because he did it for the Lord. And what he went through in spiritual battle for the Lord marked his body. But to such a degree, I think people could tell that he had been with the Lord. Can people tell you've been with the Lord? Because you bear the burdens that you're supposed to bear, and you help each other bear burdens. And those bring about marks, if you will. Now, we don't go through all this with an attitude of martyrdom. We don't go through this, poor little me. You don't understand what I've been through. Do you ever ask somebody how they've been? They tell you. Hey, oh, that really wasn't what I was asking. My burden's greater than your burden. Well, I'm raising boys. Well, I raised four girls. Four drama queens. They smell better than boys, that's for sure. But with that came burdens. Guys coming around showing interest in them. They all those boys misunderstood my ability to say no. No way, Jose. Amen. Well, we bear burdens, but we don't go around talking about, well, I know you're going through it, but let me tell you what happened to me. I mean, I know you're driving a Dodge, but I have a Ford. And let me tell you how hard it is for me to do that. Look, I married a blue-eyed blonde from San Angelo. They can't even say the whole word. I'm from San Antonio. We can say San Antonio. They just say Angelo. Where are you from? Angelo. I'm not from Antonio. Well, on a serious note, we sometimes get in a prideful competition of how much more worser our day was than yours. Yeah. You all see my toe. Yeah, we see if my finger. Well, I've got a scar. Well, my scar is bigger. We brag about a lot of things, don't we? I've got a TV. Well, what size is it? What's 25 inch? Well, I've got a 30. I got a new truck. What year is it? It's a 2020. Well, mine's a 22. So your payments are higher. I don't care. But seriously, I mean, we get into competition, a prideful thing. Of I don't see the competition in this text. I don't see anything in this text that says when we bear one another's burdens, we're coming along and seeing how big yours is compared to how big mine is, or whether or not I'm going to help you. And I look down at yours is as big as what, or as much as what I went through, and say, oh, if I can make it, they can make it. No, it's not that type of spirit at all. It's the spirit that the Lord had when he went through life. He didn't dismiss him. He didn't argue with him. He just took what came his way. Sometimes a preacher has some man in his church that he trusts and finds out it's just another Demas that hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Can you imagine being a Demas serving with the Apostle Paul and leaving that kind of a ministry under that kind of a man and leaving it because the world drew you away? Well, this world has a draw on us, doesn't it? Yep. But this testing and development makes us stronger. And every day with Jesus, I'll be sweeter than the day before. And I would wager that if we took all our burdens together and put them together, they wouldn't even, collectively, they would not compare to what Jesus bore, what he went through. Huh? All the apostles but one died a martyr's death. I doubt any of us will ever go through that, thankfully. It's possible, but probably not. But every one of them, except for one, died a martyr's death. And that one was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ. We're going to get rid of this old Baptist preacher. Don't want to hear from him anymore. Let's put him out on that rock pile. And we've done nothing but hear about him for 2,000 years in the book of Revelation. So you have a burden, I have a burden. So who do we really yoke up with? Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." How? For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. His burden is light. All he went through, and he called it light. His burden is light. When you yoke up with the Lord Jesus, you'll find your burdens lighter too. It'll be more of a spring in your step and more glistening in your eyes. Your shoulders will square back. You'll lift your head up. You can face the world head on and be smiling and confuse the world. I love confusing the world. They see you go through all kinds of things and you're still whistling and coming to church and serving the Lord. And say, what's wrong with them? Oh, they just got saved. That's all. They're just bearing up their burdens and they've yoked up with the Lord. Maybe tonight there's something going on in your life and you're wrestling with it, not sure how to deal with it. You just need to give it to him. Because burdens are lifted at Calvary. And so when we come to him tonight, we say, I just want to yoke up with the Lord. And I'm not sure how to do that, but if I come and get on my knees before him, say, Lord, I need help. In our house of stuff is the thing I don't want to let go of, but I'm probably going to have to let go of. If it's an office desk, my wife found it for me at a thrift store. The only good thing that ever came out of a thrift store. And this thing's huge. It's like 3.5 feet deep. It's almost 6 feet long. It's made out of mahogany. And on the backside of it is a tag that says, Texaco offices, Houston, Texas. We had a man in church in Kerrville, pastor. He was an accountant in Houston, working for Texaco as an accountant. He said, well, everybody in the office had a desk just like that. And here's the problem with that thing. It's a burden. It weighs 5,000 pounds. Takes four men, not like that guy in the red shirt on the back row. But men to carry it. It's heavy. All of my son-laws have said, quote, Paul, when you move, we're not going to help you move that desk. Don't ask us to move that desk. That desk is so heavy. Well, I'm not going to take a chainsaw and cut it in half. That's a real plain, real simple, beautiful mahogany desk, and I love that thing. But it's a bear. Those four son-in-laws would rather move her piano and organ than that desk. Yeah. It's serious. I know that Brother Morey and Brother Vance and I could do it, but outside of that, it's a bear to move. But I know this. This is silly, I know it. When we go to move, I cannot bear that one by myself. I've got to have help to bear that burden. That's a silly illustration. But things in life, we look at them sometimes and say, that's too big for me to handle. Well, give it to the Lord. Yoke up with him. Ask a brother to pray with you. Because together, you can bear that burden. Huh? Let's stand for prayer, if you would, please. Father, in Christ's name, I pray that you might take this simple message tonight and finish it in the hearts of folks. There's got to be somebody tonight that's really carrying a burden right now. It's so unbearable. They sure need help. Father, we need to yoke up with you tonight. Maybe tomorrow somebody will face something they don't have knowledge of, but when it comes, may they say, you know what? I think I'll just ask the Lord to, if I can yoke up with him, find my burden to be light. Father, maybe there's one here tonight that's still lost. Well, I know they're in church and it's Wednesday, but maybe they're lost. And they've been carrying the weight of their own sin, and tonight if they come and repent of that, trust Jesus, he could be their sin bearer. Father, may thy will be done right now in this invitation. As pianist plays, may people come in Jesus' name. Amen. You come, church, and let's pray tonight. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I respect those that have come. Do you need to come tonight? Lay your burdens down. Lord, I've carried this so long. Would you help me carry it? Only trust him, she's playing. You can trust him, you know. See, Terry, tonight, you have someone to meet, be in prayer for, come and pray for him. Maybe there's a relative, a friend, a neighbor in town that you know is still lost, still without a church. Why don't you come and pray for him tonight? Maybe you know of a young family going through something. Come pray for him tonight. Be their burden bearer. Thank you. appreciate you coming tonight. It's a blessing to be here. And the visitation is Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. Is that right, Brother Moyer? Okay. And church Sunday morning. And the preacher will be back by then. And so come and hear the real preacher. Amen. Guys at Pulpit Supply, we're just like granddads. Come in and spoil everybody and go home. But I'm glad you're here. Now, tomorrow night from 8 to 10, the Moyer, Vance, Martin trio will be doing a concert. It's called the MVM Singers. I hope that's not live right now. I always forget about that. When I started preaching, there was no TVs or no electronics. I mean, the dark ages, another dispensation. But anyway, appreciate your patience. Amen. Well, Brother Vance, I've been picking on. Why don't you dismiss us in prayer tonight, brother, if you would. Amen.